I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome in. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan on this Tuesday. January is 19 days old, and there is a lot to cover over the next 4.5 hours. The Nationals have a new pitcher. The Capitals play the Penguins for the second time in 3 days. The Wizards trying to finally get over their COVID outbreak, looking to get back on the court. And Robert Griffin is being waived by the Ravens. Is this the end of the road for the former Heisman Trophy winner in the NFL? All of that coming up on the show. Danny, we've got news to tend to off the top, though. How are you?
I'm great, my friend. Before we jump to it, a very quick thank you to the Washington Spirit, their PR department, Jordan Small, and Washington Spirit player Tegan McGrady. Kind enough to join me for a recorded interview for my son's school assembly. They're featuring women in sports, and they were very generous and awesome. We got that done today, and it's going to be really, really fun for the kids to see a young lady in pro sports. She's played for the USA national team, plays now for the Spirit, but really appreciate them accommodating the request for the kids. But you're right, dude, a ton to get into today.
Marty Herney is going to be the new general manager of the Washington football team. Reports all over the place, really since Ian Rappaport broke the news this morning, saying it's only a matter of time. They're dotting the I's. They are crossing the T's. It was yesterday afternoon while we were on the air that Marty Herney to Washington became a thing. At that point, Rap Sheet said that he's the front runner, that it's very likely after his interview with Ron Rivera that he's going to get the job. It's just a matter of when, but it will likely happen this week. That's what he was reporting yesterday, and that timeline got bumped up pretty substantially. This is where the search began. When he got fired in December by the Panthers, the jokes wrote themselves, and everybody said, there's your new GM, Washington. Ron Rivera didn't name a GM last offseason, and maybe the writing was on the wall already for Herney. I still remember when David Tepper took over, the thought was that he was going to be out immediately, and they kept him on, and he was kind of seen as on his last legs in Carolina. So maybe this was the master plan for Rivera all along. Wait it out, let Herney no longer be with the Panthers, and then by the time the offseason rolled around and you got to conduct some interviews, you could hire him. But 10 years after Herney, the then GM of the Panthers, hired Ron Rivera to be his head coach, Rivera returns the favor as the head coach in a coach-centric approach and hires Herney to be his general manager. Welcome to the NFL, Danny. Sometimes it's about who you know. And that's not to say that he doesn't know a whole lot as well. He might also check the box of what you know. But this is a classic case of Rivera, who hired 12 assistants from Carolina, the head trainer from Carolina, the front office now with the guy who does the salary cap and answering to Marty Herney, already on staff from Carolina. It's another former Panthers exec who's joining Ron Rivera in Ashburn.
I believe that makes 13 of them all in, right, when it comes to coaches and front office and the like.
I think it's 12 assistants alone, and then you get into Herney and the rest of the staff.
Yeah, so maybe it is more. I don't know. I did a quick count, and I'm sure I missed a couple. I don't know, man. It's hard to be excited about this. The cause or the reason, if you are excited, if you are nice Marty Herneying today, it's because you have the "In Ron We Trust" mantra. That 7-9 was good enough for you. The way the quarterback position was handled was good enough for you. Not calling timeouts and not maximizing possessions the first part of the season was good enough for you. It means benefit of the doubt for Ron Rivera above all else. I'm not doing that. I'm excited about Ron Rivera. I like him. He's overcome a lot. He's got a lot of integrity. He is a leader. If he's allowed to do his job in perpetuity, I bet you they'll be more successful than they have been at some time. That's the argument for this. The argument against it is nobody was calling Marty Herney. Nobody was beating down the door for Marty Herney. There's ample opportunity to hire Marty Herney for anybody at any time, whether that was from 2012 to 2017 or from the instant he was let go in 2020 until right now. If it's not for Ron Rivera, does he have a gig? Doesn't mean he's not competent. Doesn't mean he's not capable of doing the job. I still question what exactly the job is at this point, if it's not to agree with Ron Rivera for the most part. But for me, I'm uninspired and underwhelmed because the search ended where the jokes began. Why did we go through it? Why did we go through the exercise? Just to show that we did? Now you get a couple interviews, you meet a couple different people, and you network a little bit more. You get some of the folks to think of Eric Stokes differently. You get Cowden involved in front of a couple people in the Washington football team organization. Maybe gets to know him a little bit, someone to track down the line. There's still some upside to it, but it's marginal. It's marginal, to be honest with you. And you settle on Marty Herney, and that's how it feels. It feels very settled to me. This could have been done at any point in time for a long time. It just feels very underwhelming. I can't escape that feeling.
So I think there's good here and there's bad. And I want to start with the good for me. I think it's important to remember that while this hire is not going to, it sounds like, whelm you, and this hire is not going to create any kind of excitement or juice in the fan base. In fact, it seems to be creating some eye rolls and some "you got to be kidding me with this Charlotte North thing" kind of reactions. I do think there is something to be said for just having a general manager who is actually a general manager. Whether it's the guy you wanted, whether it's someone who's young and up and coming and the next big name in scouting and football, which was kind of the hope that a lot of people had, I think, when you started to interview some of the exciting young names from around the National Football League that were linked to this job, or you go with just a 65-year-old guy who was the GM in Carolina and then dismissed and then was out of football for a few years before being brought back to Carolina by the same owner and the same crew a second time. What's good, though, is, look, I'm not saying he's a great general manager. I think the track record, while largely disappointing, is one of some success. Now, he is fine, I believe. I think he's an okay general manager. The track record is that of, kind of an average GM. And so you have a GM. You have someone with the title general manager on their business card. When Washington calls, you know who's going to be on the phone. We always talk about this. That means something. Would I have liked to have done a little better? Would I have liked to have swung for the fences? Would I have preferred it not to have been someone that Ron Rivera has worked with multiple times who, he's hiring 10 years after that guy hired him? Yeah, of course. I feel like when you just hire the person that you already know really well that everyone assumed was going to get the job, then the search probably wasn't that thorough, wasn't that legit. But here we are. And the fact is they do have a general manager. The second thing is I don't get the sense, Danny, and this is from league people that I've talked to. All right, so this is kind of informed speculation, if you will. I don't get the sense that Marty Herney is a guy that comes in here and throws his weight around and is overly opinionated, is going to scream at people and tell them to do it this way. He is a little bit more of a administrative type, where he also does scout, and he goes to college games, and he watches those players, and he enjoys the amateur side of things and picking players. But I think this is kind of what Ron Rivera was telling us when he was on the show, that there's more to being a GM than meets the eye. That this is not just me hiring someone to evaluate talent. He might feel really good about Kyle Smith or Eric Stokes or some of the guys on staff already, Tim Gribble, who runs his scouting department this past year and put together a good draft class, and he might feel like the missing piece is, we need a strong administrator. We need someone who's a rules expert, so to speak. We need someone who's good at filing this paperwork and stays on top of me in these couple of areas like Marty used to do. And maybe that's how he views it. Like, Marty is the yin to his yang. And so there is some good to this, I'd say. Now, there's plenty of bad I'll get into as well, but I want to get your thoughts on some of that, because I still like having a GM, even if it's not the GM you would have preferred, over not having one. And I still like the idea that they don't have a GM who is a business side team president. It's not like Jason Wright, a la Bruce Allen, is going to overreach into the football department. It's a guy who's been a GM for most of the last 20 years.
So this is very similar to getting Ron Rivera or getting Mike Shanahan. It's that if you want one of the names, if you don't want to be what Detroit is doing and have to go through, you know, for somebody that nobody else wants, a la Jim Zorn, if you'd like a name, you've got to deal with one of these wrinkles. And that is you have to give this person infinite autonomy. You have to give this person carte blanche to do whatever they want, hire their buddies, hire their pals, hire guys that they know, and just sort of bring Carolina north here. If you want Ron Rivera, you got to give him ultimate power, the same way you had to give Mike Shanahan tons of power, right, if you wanted him over some no-name. So this is the corollary. Is it better to have a sharp football person than not? Of course. That doesn't mean it's still the right way to do it. Does that make sense? This is better than having some overmatched boob on the sidelines that can't get timeouts right, that can't figure out how to get his team prepared, that, you know, having a terrible defensive coordinator for his entire tenure here, a la Jay Gruden. This is better than that. Is it still the right thing to do? No. So you're right. I would rather have more good football people in the building than not. I want more smart voices with good experience than not. But it's so frustrating. I think that's why it's so bothersome to me, or maybe more than you, is you've got you're right here. You've got the chance to do something really cool, and you don't. You do something that's okay. Yes, it's better than it was. It is. It's better to have one than not have one, talking about a GM. But it's got to be, it's just so frustrating that it's got to be in this structure as opposed to kind of the way the winning organizations do it.
We had Ron Rivera on the show a week ago, and it was a really good interview. And thanks to him for joining us and for a lot of the candor that he spoke with throughout that interview. I will say that one area where he had very little interest in delving in and digging deep was when talking about the GM search. This was when we asked him about the next GM and what he's looking for.
Well, I'm going to sit down and have a conversation with our owner, with Mr. Snyder, and you know, let me know what my intent is as we go forward. I mean, I'm working through these things right now. I'm trying to evaluate where we are, the things that we've done, working with the coaches right now in terms of getting our player evals done, and then getting ready to get started on our scheme eval, and then moving forward with that, just kind of going through and some of the things that have gone on for us as an organization as far as the administrative side, the front office side, and then sit down and have a nice, frank conversation with Ms. Snyder about what I'd like to do. And we're getting to that point. And as we get to that point, we'll talk about it. But until then, guys, I don't want to put anything out there until I've had that opportunity.
Which, understood, it was only a day or so later that they started mm-hmm. to put their list together and started interviewing people. So that meeting with Snyder must have been either that day or the next morning. And then they started cranking out the names and the interviews. And here we are a week later, and the report is, hasn't happened yet, not official, but they have settled on and they are deciding that Marty Herney is going to be their next general manager. The follow-up to that question was, okay, so what are you looking for? He referenced the administrative side. Is this yep. a player-picking GM? Is this someone who is going to do paperwork that's got a stack of papers on their desk that you don't want to do and you'll have other people do the scouting? What are you looking for?
There's again, more to this position than meets the eye. There's a lot that is encompassing. When I reflect on what I went through in terms of that part of it, you know, had a lot of good people working it, and that's the plus, you know, because there's so much operational stuff that's involved as well. So there's a lot to it. This is not just, you know, picking players and making decisions on contracts or hiring coaches or what have you. It is a big task.
That's my fault. I didn't realize there was a cut there. I erred, but I'll make amends. I'll spend the rest of the show trying to make it up to you folks. Grant, I still don't have clarity. And I know that there's a lot more than meets the eye to what the general manager does in most organizations. And, you know, there's busy work and there's filing things with the league and there, you know, rules and regs and different things you got to be, you know, sort of underneath this cap but over this amount. And you sort of have to make sure that all the administrative stuff is in the row. And that's not that much fun for a football coach, right? He's in there with the magnets on the board, depth charts, assignments. You know, this guy's hurt, this guy's out, this guy's cautious, or this guy's, you know, questionable, whatever. Coach Rivera's got plenty to worry about, right? Everything from playing time to personnel. That's a lot. That's a huge purview. So I like the idea of taking something off his plate. But I just wish there was a strong, up-and-coming voice that wasn't beholden to Rivera in any way. I guess you ultimately would be in some way because he's hiring you, if that makes sense. But I just wish there was somebody, And I know people are going to tell me these guys are independent and they're smart and they can say no to Ron Rivera, and he welcomes that. And, again, I do think that about Rivera, is that he welcomes other voices at the table. I just wish it was more inspired. It's hard for me to look at a guy that his team, his design, hasn't had a winning record since 2008, and now he's here. And he could have been here any time. He could have been here for years and years and years and years, and it's sort of only now that it's happening, clearly because of a connection to Rivera.
Yeah, and officially, if you look at the Marty Herney ledger, and I don't know how fair this is because some of the teams that he helped to build and players that he drafted that were really good were a part of that 15-win Carolina team that went to the Super
Which
Bowl.
Which is true.
But if you look at the seasons that he gets credit for, where he ran the offseason, where he was in the seat, so to speak, where he put the team together, it's three winning seasons in 15 years, basically, of being a general manager. So you can question that. I don't think it's above questioning when you look at his draft history, which is strong in the first round for the most part, and not very good after that, and free agency, which is worse than the draft history, I would say, which is checkered. It's okay to say, well, this track record is not that of a guy that after he got fired once while you were the head coach with the team and then brought back, I would necessarily move mountains to bring back for his third stint. But he is very comfortable in the area. He's from Maryland. He went to
That's
Good
right.
Counsel. He grew up in Maryland and cut his teeth in the National Football League in Washington. In fact, he wrote about football for the Washington Times for 4 years, covered the beat, covered the team, and then got a job from Jack Kent Cook on the PR staff and rose. So it's a success story in that regard. I'll say this. If Marty Herney had never worked with Ron Rivera, and he had the exact same resume, I would feel a lot better about it, to be completely honest. I cannot get past. I don't know if it's fair or not. I can't get past the idea that we are again watching Rivera just hire someone that he used to work with. Now, I totally understand that coaches do that. Steve Spurrier did it when he got all the Gators together. Marty Schottenheimer did it with Kevin Lockett and Donnell Bennett and a bunch of the Chiefs people that he brought in here, and his brother's the defensive coordinator. You always see that, and you should. You're going to expect that. This is the extreme version of that. Like, it doesn't have to be binary. Like, hey, that happens. Yes, it does happen. But we're talking about an entire coaching staff and most of the front office. And it's not like they were New England. I just have to keep coming back to that. They did get to a Super Bowl. They went 15-1. But if you're getting the band back together, I want some, what do they call them? The gold records that you have on the wall on MTV Cribs that everyone has a bunch of. You know what I'm talking about?
The platinums?
Platinums. The right. I want some platinum albums. You know, I want we're getting a band back together that was okay. You know, they sold out a venue here and there from time to time.
Yeah, but this ain't the Rolling Stones reunion tour.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I just want everyone to keep remembering that yes, they were solid and they're certainly got a better track record.
Better than here.
Than Washington. So maybe that's progress, I guess. This was Jason Wright, by the way, on the show. You heard a couple of the cuts from Rivera. Right when we asked him directly about the idea that it sounded like, we didn't know if it'd be Herney at the time or possibly Cowan, a couple of the names being interviewed were Rivera disciples, but we asked him, we said, you know, there are a lot of people that feel like he's just going to hire someone he's familiar with so that it's a smooth situation for him and he's not questioned. And he bristled at that a little bit. He disagreed with that.
And I think about it as he's probably getting the folks that he knows compliment him, you know?
Yep.
Like if that's, you know, like with, yeah, with when you bring in folks that you're familiar with or when, you know, those names pop up. Like, for me, I brought in a chief of staff that worked with me at my former firm. Why? Because I know she would call me out on my bull crap. If I'm way to the left on something, she's going to tell me. And she's going to get me right. And she's going to draw me back into the data. And so I brought her in not because she's agreeable, but because she's smart and she pushes me. And my expectation is if Ron were to go the direction of somebody that's familiar to him, that would be exactly why.
What is your reaction to the news today that it sounds like Marty Herney and Ron Rivera are linking back up and Herney's going to be the new GM here in Washington with a track record that shows no low batting average in free agencies, better batting average in the draft, certainly not great, some successes in Carolina, but this is not a guy with Super Bowl trophies on the mantle. This is not someone who is stringing together division titles in Charlotte year after year. 800-636-1067 is the number on GP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can call us at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call listener lines are available for you. At 6 o'clock this evening, we're actually going to go to Charlotte and talk with one of the hosts on our sister station who covered the Panthers while Marty Herney was in town. We'll get some thoughts from Nick Wilson about the hire. But that is the news of the day. Herney coming to D.C. reportedly to take over the football team. So if you look at the records for Carolina through the years here recently when he was listed as the GM going into the season, 5-11, 5-11, 7-9, 7-9, 6-10, 2-14, and 8-8 dating back to his last winning season in 2008. Now, I will say that early reviews for him were much more favorable than his second tenure, I would say. He, in 1998, took over as their director of player operations when they were 4-12. When he was named GM the next year, they went 7-9. And they had 11-11 and 12-win seasons sprinkled out over about 6 years from 2003 to 2008. But it's since then, Danny, from 09 on, with him running drafts and free agency, that the misses have piled up and the record never surpassed the 8-win mark.
And they, I think, like at one point, numbers approximate, this is a little bit of shtick, tongue is firmly planted in cheek here, but I think like a quarter of their payroll were running backs. It's like Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, and they went and found like another guy. They just always constantly had plodding, very pedestrian running backs to sort of go with it. But it was power football. You knew what you were getting in the early 2000s, right? All the way to, you know, that Super Bowl appearance in 03 and all the way up until they drafted Cam Newton and you know, kind of started to morph into a modern football team. But it was physicality. It was great defense. It was, you know, coming downhill, running the football, and, you know, keeping games close and winning it at the end, which is by being assignment sound. That's what they were. The game has gone beyond that, though. There's too much dynamic happening. There's too much wide open. And when the game moved, he didn't. And that's kind of my indication. That's kind of my feeling about him. So that again, that 2008 season, magical run, awesome, right? Where they were really, really good. And then a couple years later in the Super Bowl. But since then, his design, his team, his group, 357 winning percentage. Just hard for me to be anything other than underwhelmed by that.
Another concern I've got, and again, you can weigh in on the AAA Always On Call listener lines on the report that Marty Herney will be the next GM of the Washington football team, 800-636-1067, is that one of the things I saw as to why he lost his job this year was that David Tepper wants a movement toward analytics and basically wanted, I hate the term new school in this regard because what does it really mean, but basically wanted to reassess with a fresh coat of paint how they viewed things. And there was a movement toward the numbers and the analytics, and it wasn't necessarily something that apparently, and hopefully we can talk to Herney in the near future on the show and ask him about this, but that he was that big on. Like, he didn't fit in with that. They butted heads a little bit over this idea of, is he going to be a part of a movement toward analysis with numbers? And that's not something I like hearing. I have thought for years Washington was woefully inept and behind
analytically.
They finally hired a couple of people to that department within the last calendar year, and I give them a lot of credit for that. But there are organizations that have several people doing now the work that a couple people in Washington are doing. And you look around in sports, it doesn't matter what sport. It's just information. You don't have to have those guys be gospel and every word they say be the end-all, be-all. But the more people you hire, there's no salary cap for this. You know, the more analysis that you're doing, the more numbers that you're crunching, the more people in that department for R&D, research and development, the better. I mean, what is there to lose other than bucks, other than some money here and there? You should have the most people getting the most information. And so to me, when you hire a GM, forget for a second that it is someone that Rivera's tight with, but you hire a GM that's out where this new thinking owner has come in and hired Matt Rhule and is going in that direction, and supposedly it was because that movement didn't fit with him that well, that's just not something that I love hearing either.
Last year, Bill Callahan said, hey, it might be a good idea to have an analytics department at the podium. He was asked a question by J.P. Finley. There was a study done where Washington was one of the three teams that basically didn't even respond to this, to the questions about how they use analytics and data, and they voted against public use of some of the tracking things and to be smarter and to help football players recover better and all the likes that the rest of the NFL has used. Under Bruce Allen, keep in mind, there was a source of pride in Washington being a dinosaur. They really thought it was cool, and they were patting themselves on the back for not getting involved with the math and the whatever type nerds. This is more of that. No, thank you. Smart people, please. Now, it's not gospel. If the data guy, there are three dudes that sit with Mike Rizzo in his suite watching the game. There's 8 million televisions and everything else. If that guy, if one of the math guys gives him a math thing, does that necessarily beat Rizzo's eyes? Does it necessarily beat his decades of driving hundreds of miles and eating Burger King, looking at thousands upon thousands of players to tell him what some guy will do? Oh, you know, does one win over the other? Not necessarily, but it's information. This organization has shied away from information, and this is another step in that direction.
For the record, while I think he ate a lot of Burger King, Danny, I think of Mike Rizzo as more of a Wendy's guy. I'll bet you, before he lost all his weight, and he's done a great job keeping it off, by the way.
Really
but
has,
Rizzo,
yeah.
I could see Rizzo when he was a scout driving around. I think he was big on the late night Frosty. What about you?
Dipping the fries right in that Frosty, you get the sweet and salty. Next time we talk to him, let's remember to ask him that. Like when you were just grinding
right,
as a scout.
What was your fast food stop of choice on the
what
road?
What was your one seed?
During a
how much did you vary
drive?
It up? Because he strikes me as a guy that, like, he's like, hey, guys, I like this one Burger King in Arizona. And he just went there. I keep saying Burger King. But you know what I mean? Like, if he found a Jack in the Box, if he found a Whataburger, maybe it's In-N-Out. If he found something that he liked, he'd end up stopping there as he's doing, 12-hour hauls to watch a 165-pound sophomore, take three at-bats.
1 to 10 me on this. By the way, speaking of Rizzo, we're going to talk about the Nats and the fact that they're bringing in John Lester. We'll do a deep dive into their rotation coming up in about 10 minutes at 2:45, so make sure you're listening at that time if you want to hear us talk ball on Grant and Danny. 1 to 10 me. 10, you love it. 1, you despise it on the Marty Herney hire if, in fact, it becomes official.
It's a 3 for me. It's a 3 for me.
Okay, I'm going to say 4. It's close to being meh. Like, it's not like I'm up in arms or livid or anything. I am disappointed, and I am underwhelmed, I would say. I also can't help but feel like the search was just not that thorough of a search. It's the equivalent of needing a pen to write something down while you're on the phone, and you look in front of you, there's like a pen on the table. You're like, nah, I want to get the best possible pen. And you look all over your house, and you see a bunch of other pens, and you come back, you just use the pen that was next to you to begin with anyway. I feel like you already had your mind made up. Like, that pen was just probably going to do the trick for you. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Hi, fellas. Yeah, I'm undecided. I won't say I'm underwhelmed. And that's because I'm not exactly sure what Marty's going to do and how that front office is going to look. I really don't know. Let's celebrate one thing right off, okay? We have a GM who isn't a drunk. Sorry, Scott McLuhan. And we have a GM, if it's Herney, who's not going to be a spy for Mr. Snyder. That's important, but do not forget that. However, I want to see who's picking the groceries from the college ranks. Who's picking the groceries from the pro ranks? I want to see more years like 2020 where we got a bunch of players in free agency, and a lot of us were scratching our head, but with this coaching staff, they developed into fine additions. Same to be said about the draft. I want more off seasons where we add players to the roster that fit, both from the veteran side and from the drafted or undrafted side. I need to see more of what happened in 2020. I don't care who gets the credit for it, and I'm truly hoping that Herney is more of an administrator and that really it's the people underneath him that are going to help bring forth the names we need to consider for adding to the roster. If we don't, if we get meh Marty Herney, I'll be extremely disappointed.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I mean, the big question in regard to continuing what they did this offseason, and I would even say from a draft standpoint what they've done over the last couple of years, you know, the guy that ran the department is Kyle Smith, and a lot of the people that were directly reporting to Kyle Smith have been here as well. Whether or not they all stay. I mean, does Marty Herney want to now bring in a bunch of his guys? He already has most of them here, honestly. I mean, he's got Rodgers doing the salary cap, just like he had in Carolina. He's got Warren and Stokes in the scouting department, just like he had in Carolina. But maybe he wants to bring in his own amateur guys. I'm not really sure. But if Kyle Smith stays and is in his exact same role and he's running the meetings and Herney is sitting in the room while he runs the meetings and occasionally interrupting, interjecting, giving his opinion, then maybe that works, that they can kind of continue that momentum. But what I don't know is the relationship between Rivera and Smith. On the outside looking in, I assume that it isn't very good, because it's really odd to me that they didn't at least interview him. I'm not saying they should have made him the GM necessarily, but anybody who thinks that it isn't strange that they didn't even ask him to interview and they asked one of the guys that works under him to interview is really, really weird. And I just disagree with someone who doesn't see that that's a strange thing. Colin's in Leesburg on line three. Colin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Good, pal.
Good.
I was just going to say the exact same thing you did. I mean, Kyle Smith really got snubbed here. I mean, you look at this guy and what he did for us last offseason, made some great moves. It seems like he works super well with Ron Rivera, and he just completely gets snubbed. So I wouldn't be surprised if we lose him because of this Herney hire.
Yeah, what I don't know is, and Danny, appreciate the call, buddy, He is likely under contract. I guess there's a chance that he is not, but we have not heard that. So my guess is, short of them not wanting him to be here, it's not like he can just walk. It's not like he's going to take his ball and go home. So he may just have to keep doing his job, even if he is upset or frustrated by not getting an interview. What choice does he really have?
Right.
But
I don't know.
Curious about that part of it. Because if you still have Kyle Smith, if you still have Tim Gribble, if you still have this entire staff of people who seem to have had an excellent last calendar year working with Ron Rivera, and you bring in Marty Herney, I think a lot of people could feel pretty good about that. But if you bring in Herney, you go in a different direction after a couple seasons of continuity where it looks like things were going in the right direction in the front office, that looks like a departure that plenty of people are going to be frustrated by, I would say.
Yeah, and I think, and rightfully so. I mean, Washington fans, I wrote about this. I mean, Washington fans and media folks are looking at, you know, they see John Schneider, Trent Baalke, they see three assistant coaches playing, you know, representing the NFC in title games, and it looks like another young, talented person is being marginalized. And they're yelling, oh, my God, it's happening again. And I understand the freak out. I think it's correct that people are freaking out and concerned about this. And most folks are kind of going, oh, well, it's not a big deal. It met with some kind of tepid reaction. To me, there is a balance here. It's how important is Kyle Smith to this organization? And if you decide he's important at all, you better give him a path. You better say, hey, after all this is done, once we settle on the GM, you'll be made, just for the sake of argument, the assistant GM. You're going to get a little bit more responsibility, let's say on the pro side, to work there and work underneath Marty or work with Eric Stokes or whatever the case is. You better lay a path before him. Otherwise, if he's passed over entirely, if he's now disgruntled when you didn't have to make him disgruntled, you could have had a conversation. We don't know if there was one or wasn't. If you're not taking care of this guy, you lose him, and it's another John Schneider situation. And that, to me, as a fan, someone that follows this very closely, is untenable.
We'll get back into the front office changing of the guard for Washington in a little over 20 minutes at the top of the hour. Next, the hot stove heated up last night for the Nationals. A 5-time All-Star and 3-time World Series champion is coming to D.C. to take part in an already really good rotation. We'll give you the details next on G&D.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming to DC, general manager. Not official yet, but the report is that it will be very soon. Right now, though, the Nats made a big move last night. It is set to become official imminently that John Lester is joining Washington as part of their rotation. And, Danny, this is a big deal because as much as they needed to upgrade their lineup, and while they have not added a splash acquisition, you know, a 35-homer, 115 RBI MVP-type bat where you spend $20-plus million a year in free agency, they have brought in a couple of guys who might be able to hit 30 home runs. In Josh Bell, who's their new starting first baseman, and Kyle Schwarber from Chicago, who's going to play a ton in left field. But this team's going to get by on pitching. And if they're going to win, they're going to win because of their starting pitching. Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin 1-3 are known commodities in the front of your rotation. We can go through each of those guys and why there are some question marks surrounding each of them coming into this year. But the problem with the pitching staff, as of yesterday, was that the back of the rotation was not good enough. It looked like it was going to be two of Joe Ross, Eric Fetty, Austin Voth for your fourth and fifth starter spots. And they needed a veteran. They needed someone who could eat innings. They needed someone who could potentially get hot for a month and pitch to a 2 ERA, something those other three guys have not really shown capable of in their careers. And they went out and reportedly agreed to a one-year contract with John Lester, a three-time World Series champion and a five-time All-Star, who was once the MVP of the National League Championship Series, who's led the league in wins as well as in win percentage and in a couple of other categories like strikeouts per nine at different points during a decorated career.
Great career. Great career. Big game pitcher, the whole nine yards. A champion, a stud, and sort of a guy that everybody loves to be teammates with. Also the same guy that led the league in hits allowed in 2019. The same guy whose velocity has gone down precipitously. The stuff is just nowhere near as sharp. So it's hard, again, and it sounds like I'm just crushing all the local teams today. I don't mean to be. I promise you, I'm not just setting out to do that. But I don't love this. And this is a guy that, in the short sample last year, pitched to an ERA north of five, had three really good starts that were kind of encouraging. Maybe he had found something towards the end of this season as the Cubs didn't do what they were – you know, kind of set out to do, which led them to this sort of fire sale. But 12 starts don't a great sample make. But again, the stuff and the sharpness has dropped precipitously. He gets by on toughness, guts, competitiveness, and all those things. But is that enough to sustain as the strikeout rate drops, as his whip, walks, and hits per innings pitched have skyrocketed, hits per nine, almost 11 allowed in his last full season in 2019. So I've got questions here. And this free agent market wasn't exemplary. Obviously, you get your guys at the top of Trevor Bowers, the Charlie Mortons, et cetera. I knew that was going to be out of their price range. I get that. But I don't know, man. I'm not terribly excited about this signing. I think if you know, health-wise, you feel pretty good about him as a guy that takes the ball every fifth day. But other than that, I'm not sure how much of an upgrade John Lester really is.
Have you seen the terms? I know it's 1 year, but have you seen how much they're going to pay him?
I just saw 1 year, no.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. It's very rare that you don't get a term to come out of a contract. So his agents, the Levinsons, must be keeping that Sam and Seth pretty close to the vest for the Aces company. But here is why I disagree a little bit. If you're asking me, do I love it in the sense of, do I have high expectations for John Lester this year? I don't. Like, if you are asking me, do I think he can pitch like a number two or a number three? Not at all. I think he's a fifth starter type at this point. Would I rather him be my fifth starter than Austin Voth? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would I rather John Lester be my fifth starter than Eric Fetty? Probably at this point. Or Joe Ross? You know, maybe. But one of those two guys in a competition is going to make this rotation. The other one's probably going to be a long man, and we'll have to figure into the bullpen. I happen to think Joe Ross could be really good out of the bullpen, and I still think that's something that they should experiment with. So maybe Fetty's your fifth starter, a former first-round pick out of New Mexico, and then you slot Lester in as the number four. You know, when you do some digging on fan graphs, his velocity last year was 89.2 miles an hour with the fastball. Uh-huh. At his apex, he was around 94 miles per hour back in 2009 in Boston. But he's been really good in Chicago, around 91, 92 miles per hour. You know, he's down 3 miles per hour from that. He throws more changeups right now than he ever has, about 13% of the time last year. 2-3 years ago, he was throwing his changeup 8 or 9% of the time. He's a fastball, cutter, curveball, changeup guy, and he runs into more contact than he used to. Home run rate is up, loud contact rate is up. So do I think that bringing in John Lester makes this rotation substantially better? No. Assuming they're paying him something like, and I'm guessing it's around $10 million a year on a 1 year deal, assuming they're not paying him $15 or $17 million, which I have a hard time believing would be the case based on the last couple years, then I actually think this makes a lot of sense. I really do. You go get your veteran. This is your Dan Haraney type move, you know?
Right.
This is your Edwin Jackson thing where you go get a vet, throw him in the back of the rotation, tell him to eat some innings. But he is 37. His best stuff is absolutely behind him. And this is a bigger name with a better resume probably than you're going to get. Realistically, I think he's probably going to be like a 4.7 ERA guy over 27 starts or something like that this year.
And so I guess let me back up and try to be more clear about this, because I agree with everything you just said. I agree with it all. And I guess my point is, if we're going to save everywhere, what are we going to use it for? And to me,
I don't think
context.
They're using money on anything at this point. I think you're seeing what you're getting.
And that's it. So I love the Josh Bell move for the record, right? You trade and you get a guy that's on that's arbitration eligible. You could get 40 homers for $6 million. Sign me right the hell up for that. I love that Josh Bell move. So I'm going to go get a defensive butcher that's going to strike out a ton but might hit homers for me in Kyle Schwarber. Okay, I understand that. Where do we apply the savings? And if the answer is the savings are not applied because we're not going to, you know, shoot the moon, again, I understand not getting Trevor Bauer. That's going to take a ridiculous amount of money. You probably don't even want that, especially in the middle to the back end of that career, or you don't want to disrupt the clubhouse with his idiosyncratic ways. I understand all that. But to me, there was a higher ceiling at several spots, and they didn't go after that. They always went for the cheap option instead of saying, here's a couple cheap options so that we can get a Marcelo Zuna.
And I think that's what they
get
do.
A Springer.
I just think, by and large, that's what they've been. You know, that's why Anthony Rendon wasn't here. By the way, I think you'll like it a little bit more. This is from Nightingale. I don't know if this is correct or not, but these are the numbers that Bob Nightingale has. He says he signed a 1 year, $5 million contract with the Nats that's going to pay him $2 million this year. Shocker. Listen to
that's
this.
That's great value.
$3 million in deferred money.
No.
23.
They did what now? Defered? What does that mean?
Deferred money. Yeah, I know.
They Wilmer defoed it? What did they do?
So $5 million basically for this 1 year. I mean, that's a bargain. You can't really beat that for potentially 170 innings from a veteran who's pitched in huge games and is one of the most accomplished postseason pitchers ever. And again, that's where I like it, is not just
like
the
that,
value financially, but I needed a veteran in the back of the rotation. Do I think he's going to pitch all that well? No. That's an amount of money, though, that if it's a disaster halfway through the season,
then who cares?
He doesn't have to keep logging starts. You go in a different direction. But we're having two kind of different conversations. I think you're grading this from the perspective of you can go sign anyone, trade for anyone, bring in a really good pitcher, or John Lester, and they chose John Lester. I'm looking at this as John Lester versus Austin Voth, who's who they had right now. But
a dubious honor. You're right, though.
I wanted George Springer. I didn't want Kyle Schwarber. I wanted Marcelo Ozuna. I didn't want Josh Brantley. Right. I wanted Michael Brantley. I wanted JT Realmuto. I want Trevor Bauer. I'm using their money, and they're not willing to. They're just not playing the same game that I am. We can get more into John Lester and the Nats and the rotation because I want to talk Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Max, and Stras both having some injury problems over the last couple of years, and Corbin inexplicably took a nosedive last season in that pandemic-stricken year after an awesome first year with the Nationals. He's got to bounce back if they've got any chance of making the playoffs. So we'll get into all that a little bit later on today. Next, J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, on why Marty Herney appears to be the choice for Ron Rivera in the front office.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.